Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. On today's show, we're taking our monthly look at the world of podcasts. We'll be talking through one from Canada and another from New York that have been binged on by our guest reviewer today. And we'll discuss what new podcasts can learn from a couple of titans from the podcasting world. And said guest reviewer is The Telegraph's Pete Norton, who joins me in the studio now. Pete, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice
very
to be
good
here.
Very good to have you with us. Back from sunnier climes. Wouldn't be difficult at the moment.
No, I've just come back from Mallorca.
But let's hope there's some kind of radio sunshine here.
Yes,
in the studio.
I feel it.
Can we spread some of the rays of light? Let's see. Let's start with Sleepover. This is a podcast by Canada's national broadcaster, the CBC, that puts a bit of a different spin, I guess, on the kind of self-help genre. What's the sort of premise of this, Pete, for us, first of all?
So you could almost call this it's kind of a reality TV premise brought to a podcast sort of medium, which is it's hosted by a lady called Sukyin Lee, who's a well-known broadcaster in Canada, not so well-known over here. And in each episode, she and three complete strangers, go to a hotel room in Toronto and spend 24 hours there. And she asks the people, they've been picked, they do have a kind of applications process, but they're picked for their variety and their difference, and they've never met before. They spend 24 hours in a hotel room, and each of them brings a problem with them from their life, and they bring an object as well that relates to that problem. And they try and kind of dig into their problems and talk through them together, which sounds, when I first heard of it, I thought this is going to be incredibly slushy and just wishy-washy and not wouldn't make good radio, but it really does. I think in large credit to the host, Sukyin Lee, I think she's a very talented radio maker, but it's kind of moving and humane, and you get these people, quite a few of the episodes, they'd have a young person, so there's one which has got a very young boy, like a 7 or 9 year old boy, and then an old guy and another person here, and so you get this real mix of humanity kind of sharing their life in a hotel room. And I've been really pleasantly surprised by it. It's been one of the sort of picks for me of the last year in terms of something that's always arresting and unexpected.
And a bit of humanity, no bad thing in the current environment. Let's hear a little clip. This bit, the extract we're going to hear is from an episode, I gather, entitled Judy Wants Romance. Let's take a listen.
The problem is, for myself with a disability, I still want some romance in my life. I don't want my life to be over, and I don't want to be in a state where I think that I'm old and unattractive and unresponsive to romance.
When was the last time you wore that necklace?
A couple of weeks ago to church.
Okay, it wasn't a date though. It wasn't for romance.
No, for praying about it.
Oh, you were praying for romance? Did you pray for romance?
Yes, I did.
Yes, absolutely.
I prayed to God darn hard.
And Pete, I guess that clip actually speaks volumes as to the success of this program. You've alluded to it already. I guess because straight away, if I hear about sort of, you know, I don't know, if you call it a self-help genre, you think it can be rather introspective, it can take itself a bit too seriously, but there's certainly a lightness of touch, and I guess a lot of that is driven, as you say, by the skills of the presenter, because they're managing to make light, nevertheless, there's some quite hefty issues.
Yes, and it's kind of storytelling as well. It's not, they don't sort of sit there kind of trying to have a group hug, or, you know, it's not so much about the therapy of it, it's more the way that they're sharing, and it's edited in such a way that you really kind of get a sense of these people's life and their struggle. And I think it's a really, yeah, I've been very impressed by it. And it's also, I mean, it's worth noting, this is from CBC, which is the kind of Canadian BBC. And they, in a quiet, understated way, typically Canadian way, have been responsible for some very creative radio making recently. I'd really recommend listeners to go and look at CBC and their podcast output, because they've got a bunch of different shows on different topics, technology, literature. There's more documentary stuff as well. And it's really good.
They've got very, very good taste, cause, and also overnight on their main networks, they air some Monocle programmes as well.
Well, there you go.
It's great minds meet. Tell me about where this could go then, because I think we've had one season so far, I think, of Sleepover, as I gather it. Will there be more? I mean, presumably, if you have a series that has such skillful storytelling at its heart, it's a challenge to keep the quality going, but it's probably easier to imagine, I don't know, more episodes, more stories, more people drawn in.
I think it was a bit of a hit, this one, so I'd be surprised if the second series isn't forthcoming. There was something recently about how Sukyin was doing a live event, which I didn't like the sound of, which was called Sleepover Power Naps, which is three people live on stage in a bed talking about their problems, which did sound a little bit more like a kind of, I don't know, a touring arena show.
My mum's going all sorts of directions.
Yes,
well, let's see if the live breakout works. But Sleepover, season one, confined as it is to, well, yeah, not bringing the beds out into the public, it's available on iTunes now. So dip in and have a listen. Our next podcast is called Reply All. This was produced by Gimlet out of New York, celebrated by This American Life creator Ira Glass. Reply All sets out to tell some weird and wonderful stories that have emerged from, I don't know how to describe it really, from sort of various strange circumstances on the internet or with the web behind it. What sort of tales, Pete, are we talking about here? And how much does my botched description capture all this is all
about? I think you actually did a very good job describing it there, because it's kind of, it builds itself as a show about the internet, but it's really bigger than that and looser than that. It's kind of really a show about the way in which technology kind of affects people's lives messily in varied ways. And there's often an internet theme to that, but not exclusively. So they've done shows in which they met with the guy who invented the pop-up ad. They did a really good show recently when they dug into this Pizzagate conspiracy theory, which was doing the rounds a month or so ago. And the two hosts, PJ Vogt and Alex Goldman, are very talented and experienced broadcasters themselves, and they've got a really nice kind of rapport. I just think they're onto a very rich seam, because there's so many stories that pertain to this stuff now, and I think it's, you know, it's a big part of our world. And they found a witty and intelligent way of telling some of those stories. So this is, for me, this is one of the podcasts that's kind of, it feels like it's having a good time at the moment. It's having a moment. This show is a weekly source of pleasure to me and interest.
Okay, and it sounds like it's here to stay. Let's hear a clip and find out exactly why. This is from episode 86, which was called Man of the People. Let's listen to this.
Thomas and Kevin have been married for years. When they first met, they fell in love over this very strange coincidence. They were introduced to each other at a party, they got to talking, and they realized both of them had spent time in Del Rio, Texas as kids. And as little kids, both of them had gotten really, really interested in this rundown mansion in town. Weirder still, they'd both been obsessed with the widow who lived in the mansion. And weirder still, they had both struck up friendships with her as children. It's probably just as well that Kevin and Thomas had no idea who they were talking to. This sweet old woman, Mrs. Brinkley, she had been an accomplice to one of the largest, deadliest scams in American history. The mastermind of the scam was none other than her husband. He'd taken control of an experimental new piece of technology and then used it in this way that nobody else saw coming. This week, the story of the terrifying Dr. John Romulus Brinkley.
I mean, dare you stop listening? I mean,
exactly.
What a great intro. Tell me a bit more about Alex and PJ then. How do they source these stories? As you mentioned, they're kind of rolling around out there. Everyone seems to know of a story a bit like this where maybe, yeah, the web has somehow played its role. But what's their process? Do we know how they go about sourcing them?
Well, I know they've got a production team as well. A lot of the people at Gimlet have come from the public radio ecosystem. So I think these two came from WNYC, which is a very fine and well-reputed New York-based public radio station. Alex Bloomberg, who set up Gimlet, is a This American Life alumnus. So I think, you know, they've got networks of people that are pitching stories to them, and they do a lot of research and don't always follow them up. The episode that we just heard a clip from it's a story of an early 20th century con man who used broadcast radio to sell his wares, which involve goat testicles. And they're sort of...
Our Monocle 24 show about that is coming up.
Yes, yes. But it's an excellent story. And that came from a book, I think. They came from that from a book. They do often find these angles and stories that you won't have heard of in the mainstream press, if you like.
And it strikes me as interesting. You know, we talked a little bit about the storytelling, and in the first case, we're talking about Sleepover and Suk Yin Lee's skill as a storyteller. And I guess these two are similar, aren't they? Because the shows feel like you're properly going on a journey with them. It's a bit of a voyage of discovery through. Often it's a bit unseemly, or it might be a bit macabre. But again, it shows you that classic storytelling skill, that great narrative power, is at the heart of, unsurprisingly, most of the new hits, and maybe some of the old favourites we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that kind of radio making requires resources. That you know, it needs a team of people working on it, and every half-hour radio is taking them many, many hours of pre-production and all that. So there's a difference between this kind of podcast and your more conventional people sit around a table and talk podcast, which obviously doesn't require so much pre-production. So it's the kind of bigger networks that are able to fund this sort of storytelling, I'd say.
Reply All is released weekly. You can find out more at gimletmedia.com. Now, whilst many people might have really sort of got into podcasts in a big way only in the last couple of years, they have been around for a while, and we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of stalwarts. Well, one from either side of the Atlantic, one, This American Life, which we mentioned a moment ago, and Kermode and Mayo's Film Review. Before the end of the show then, Pete, let's talk about these shows. I know in the case of Kermode and Mayo, there hasn't maybe been a podcast per se for all of those years, but it hasn't really changed in its format, even when it became a podcast. But This American Life, first of all, it's probably the pioneer in this space. We're talking about, you know, narrative podcasting. Why has it endured? What are its great strengths that mean it has such resonance with so many people, do you think?
Well, I mean, This American Life has been going for 20 years now, and it began, it is in its primarily a public radio show from the States. I think that's how it makes most of its money, is by syndication across public radio stations. But since the advent of podcasting roughly 10 years ago, it has grown to have this bigger international audience and an on-demand audience. So they're kind of the big fish in terms of American nonfiction radio storytelling. They really dominate the medium and have been very, very influential, even to the point of This American Life is hosted by a guy called Ira Glass, and you hear his intonations copied by so many radio hosts now. He's got this kind of conversational fire, like he's telling you an anecdote at a bar kind of style of narration, which some people like, some people don't. But I mean, This American Life, it almost feels like recommending the 10 o'clock news to someone who likes current affairs, because it's just such a big giant elephant in the jungle of podcasting. That's not a terrible metaphor.
I like it.
do elephants live in jungles? I don't know. But
I think they're maybe on the plains as well. They're pretty flexible.
Excellent. It remains for me one of my favourite shows. They just do it so well, this kind of deep dive, long form audio journalism. They really nail it with great reliability. And they do, it's always surprising as well. So they've done, they do serious investigative journalism type stuff. They've done some amazing work on the refugee migrant crisis in Greece with reporters on the ground there. They've done a lot of stuff about the US election recently. But they also do kind of whimsical things or more upbeat things. So they've done stories where they send out reporters to a Jeep dealership somewhere in the middle of America for a week. These guys are going to meet their sales targets, and there's a bunch of radio reporters there kind of talking about the internal politics inside this Jeep dealership, which is absolutely riveting. So there's a whole bunch of different kinds of audio storytelling going on there, and it's, very high quality.
And do you think part of the success maybe stems in a way from the longevity, so it becomes self-fulfilling, because then they have the confidence to maybe go out on a limb, or the producers, as they sit around and kick these ideas around, maybe the Jeep dealership thing at first glance maybe wouldn't jump out, but they've got this confidence because they know their journalists are good, they know the audience will engage with it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy to a degree, I guess.
I think yes, and also, I mean, they have the resources to pay for a lot of... Ira Glass is on the record saying that they have a very high kind of abandonment rate of stories. So they'll do a lot of research on something and then say, no, actually, this isn't going to work on the radio. So it's 1 out of 10 they actually run with. So they've got, if it gets to the point of being on the radio station, you know that a lot of work has already gone into it.
10%, I mean, that's pretty extraordinary quality control, isn't it? And what about if we jump across the pond and come over to this country and talk about Kermode and Mayo? I mean, I guess this is a bit different because it's a little bit more procedural. It's a film review show. There's only so much format-wise you can do about it. Does this speak to another truism, if you like, about podcasts, which is about the rapport between presenters, that dynamic? Is that what's at the heart of that?
Yes, I think so. I mean, this is Kermode and Mayo. So Kermode and Mayo have been doing film reviews together on BBC Radio in one form or another for also about 20 years. And they've been doing it on 5 Live together as a dedicated film show since 2001. The podcast version of that has been going since almost the dawn of podcasting. In 2005, they launched the podcast. And it's slightly different from the broadcast show. They top and tail it with a bit of podcast-only kind of chat between the two of them. And they talk about their audience as the Church of Wittertainment, is the way they put it. But they have this kind of loyal online following, and they have a different conversation with them, perhaps, than they do with the 5 Live listenership. But for me, the pleasure of the show is just this beautiful, almost marriage-type relationship between Kermode and Mayo. And they're just such great radio communicators. Even if you don't really care about the cinema, or don't have any intention of going to a film in the coming week, it's just nice to spend a couple of hours in their company. And I think it's as simple as that for me. It's just like the glory of just being, of radio providing company.
If you're a sort of budding podcast or radio producer, I don't know what you'd want to call it, would it be a mistake, do you think, to listen to, I don't know, either of these shows and consider how you can craft your own technique or craft your own style, because it's could be foolhardy to try and ape the very best that's out there. Or do you think that's a good thing? It's the very perfect place to start, precisely for the reasons you've already outlined.
Definitely. I mean, I think everyone has to copy. Everyone copies and is influenced by the things. And that's a great way of starting is, I mean, there's stories of writers just sitting down, I forget, it might have been Raymond Chandler, but sitting down with a copy of Hemingway novel and just typing it out word for word just to get the practice, the feel of the sentences coming off your own fingers. Mm. But I think there's a lot to that. And everyone I've heard who's hot on this kind of coming better at audio making is, yeah, you listen to the shows and copy what they're doing right. Make it your own.
Absolutely. And then who knows, maybe you'll be crafting the next legendary show that you, Pete Norton, might pick out as your favourite.
We need more of this in the UK as well, I'd say. We need more people going out there and making podcasts in the UK, because there's a lot in the States, but the UK, I think it feels like there's definitely bandwidth here for more podcasts.
There you go. I believe that's what's known as a call to action. So get out there, listeners.
Yeah, man the barricades.
Pete Norton has spoken. Thanks, Pete, for being with us on the programme, as always. That's the end of the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Tom Edwards. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow, and you can hear our book review. But for now, it's goodbye from me. Thank you for listening.